This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Brent Sapp. Brent is a strategic advisor, product innovator, author, entrepreneur activist, and founder of the Economy Heroes Movement. His experience spans multiple industries, including healthcare, education, and software. He has worked with startups, mid-market companies, and Fortune 500s to help CEOs and their teams to break through the second stage of growth. His company, Forum Navigator, equips CEOs to make team alignment and accountability a routine so that they can create a sustainable execution habit. Brent helps CEOs and founders transition through second stage growth, where over 90% of companies fail. He has over 1,000 companies under his belt to verify that the right strategy, made simple and measurable, gets executed. In addition to this position as CEO of Forum Navigator, Brent has recently been appointed as the Managing Director for Central Florida for the Newport Board Group. Welcome to the studio, Brent. It's truly an honor to have you here today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good. Can you tell us just briefly before we get started what this Economy Heroes movement is?
Yeah, that came out of the research and the experience that we've had. The research shows, and we've seen it personally, that 90% of emerging growth companies either stall or fail once they get past startup and they've got momentum. But that less than 10% that make it through generate 85% of jobs and almost all innovation that, you know, private equity is trying to acquire. So we recognize the fact how important they are, and we make sure that we let them know when we get them into a public setting, you know, that they are our nation's economy heroes, because they're the ones that are making, you know, the biggest impact. And the more that we can help move the needle on that 10%, the less problems we're going to have with unemployment and certainly, you know, innovation.
Excellent. Awesome. And they really are heroes of a different sort.
Absolutely. Well, they take the risks that, you know, make the changes in our lives, really. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, good. Tell us about Forum Navigator, and the name itself is a little unusual. It starts with the number 4 and then M and Navigator. Tell us about that title of for your company, the name of the company, and then tell us a little bit about profile of the company.
Sure. Well, it all started, I have my business partner and a long-term friend, Doug Tatum. He started the first CFO consultancy, Tatum Partners, years ago, and 20 years ago, as a matter of fact. And they grew that to about 1,200, you know, cream of the crop CFOs that were going in and being, you know, having fractional interface with companies on their financial model. But he learned early on and was smart enough to identify the operational issues that companies, regardless of industry, have to go through in order to break through and scale. And so he categorized them in 4 categories: market, management, model, and money. And so when Doug and I decided 10 years ago to try to help not only the entrepreneurs themselves, but also the advisors that help them to be able to understand, you know, and help a company to understand where they are with these issues and how they can address them and prioritize them to be able to get things fixed and keep moving.
Okay. And that 4M is the 4 model.
That's right.
Criteria you're talking about.
Yeah, the market, management, model, and money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. And you provide business data or software for data to generate data for the companies?
Well, what we've done, we've worked with about 1,000 companies, which a lot of which were actually in the Inc. 5000. We had a strategic relationship with Inc. Magazine for a number of years, working in the issues that they struggle with are the same issues that any other company struggles with. They've got to be able to address these. But what we have done over time, we have a software that enables a business owner, and also, if they care, to their leadership team, how they stand on these issues and the degree of urgency of these issues that they have. And so what we've built a database over the years such that now we can, a business owner can enter a code into our software and in a very short period of time be able to process through these operational issues and market management model of money,
okay,
figure out where his company is or her company is, and be able then to know what steps to take. And then they can invite their inner circle, who are the individuals, maybe 5 to 7, that actually are sitting around the table when the big decisions are made, bring them into it and let them answer most of those questions, and to see how aligned they are, you know, on their strategy.
Okay. Well, and that gives them something to work against and say, can we move, and what direction should we move, and then really, I guess, take their performance and compare it to what their original plan was and the benchmarks they had.
Exactly. And what we have found is we found some really interesting data marks over the years, which confirm what Doug Tatum did with Tatum Partners, among which are almost 95% of leadership teams are misaligned with the strategy.
Okay, now let me ask you this question, because a lot of people who are listening are entrepreneurs.
Right.
And they go from that 50 to 250 or 20 to 250 and or around 500. So they're not huge companies. Talk to us about the experience that you have had through this process and the importance of the process to the success of the company. It's not just an add-on.
Right, exactly. Well, the good news is that they're in good company. Every one of their peers, regardless of industry, are dealing with the same issues. I mean there's so many issues that a company can have in their startup that's going to prevent them from getting to the next stage. But at this stage, which we call, you know, when a company's too big to be small and too small to be big, there are specific operational strategic issues that they need to deal with. And so first of all, my partner says this so well, he said their biggest roadblock is not their competitor, it's tyranny of the urgent. Exactly.
Interesting.
So, and we always use the illustration of the guy on the stage spinning plates, you know. and so to be able to rise above that, which is so difficult. I mean, because, you know, you've got the daily things going on, and there's fires to put out every day, and to be able to rise up above that, to look at the company objectively and strategically, so that they can identify. And there's usually, when they're going through this stage, there's usually 12 to 15 operational things that they've got to be able to address, and they can't do them all at once. So this helps them to prioritize and to identify what needs to get fixed first, and then just take it from there. So it's not an add-on. It's actually probably the most important thing they can do as they're going through this emerging growth company second stage, is to be able to get out of the fray and to be able to look at the business objectively and to realize they're in the same boat as their peers.
I really like that phrase, tyranny of the
urgent.
And in that regard, saying that you put out fires, but that's not your life.
That's right.
And that if the fires are there, that's really symptomatic of other things that aren't there, like your strategy and moving forward.
Exactly.
Okay, we have a focus here of trying to put business and Bible together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole idea of chasing wisdom, is that you become wiser by using insights from Scripture to help you in your move forward. And people are going to be interested in you as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked earlier, and you said, really, this is all about leadership. And it's not just the data and the software and the things you generate, but where you take it from there. And you said something in the materials that we exchanged for preparation that I thought was very powerful for me. And it had to do with your vocational mission. And talk to us a little bit about that and how it puts Bible and business together.
Well, that's a great question. And it all goes back to my upbringing. My dad was a serial entrepreneur, and coming out of the greatest generation, and my uncle was in the same situation. You know, they came out of that, and they basically revamped, you know, our economy. I mean, they were just very tough-minded. And I feel like it's as I was exposed to this information 10 years ago, as it relates to no man's land and as it relates to the consistency of what takes a business out and from a leadership standpoint as well, that I was entrusted with as much as I can specify something to be business truth as it is, and also to be able to. And so my mission is not only to help entrepreneurs in general to be able to break through this, but certainly with Christian entrepreneurs, you know, with the mission that they have and the way they want to treat their employees and the decisions that they have to make to help them to understand that, you know, how they can make these decisions. Some of them are very tough, especially when you're talking about when you come into a business and you've brought your, you know, you've got individuals that have basically taken a title and not a salary.
Right.
And they've come on and they're your friends, and they have, and they get you to where you are at this point, right? But now you've got to be able to, if the business is to grow and expand, you may have to make some tough choices as it relates to those individuals and bringing in experience into the inner circle. So how do you do that from a biblical perspective? And, you know, and from the leadership side, you know, as we're following the example of Christ, I do believe that that Christian entrepreneurs have the ability. Well, first of all, they're wanting to make sure that they are following Christ and they're implementing, bringing that into their business.
Right.
But also that there's a much more, I think, higher willingness to be objective and to be humble and to be able to say, you know. This is not my identity. This is what God has given me to do to be able to help my family and others. And so it's a huge privilege when I get the opportunity to work with a Christian entrepreneur.
Well, and the thing that that I like so much about what you have said to me is that, and said to me not only here orally but in the materials that you presented, is that you see what you do as an opportunity to serve. And that it's not, people I think sometimes are suspect of consultants coming in and wanting to do a job and then leaving, and that's that. And when you look at the idea and you think about what you might hear on a Sunday, and we have a feature called Sunday to Monday, and if we look at Matthew 20:28, and it says that even as the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And I see that as coming through in you in the way you would approach a follower or a client. Is that true?
Absolutely. And again, I think it's such, I sense that it's such a privilege to be able to bring the right resources to these business owners, understanding how they think. And really, the whole purpose when we started this business, Doug and I said, how do we help these entrepreneurs? I mean, they're so important to the economy, and B, they're just probably there's nobody more fun to hang around with than business owners.
We have an opportunity to look just for a second at somebody's vocational mission statement, and it was done by Naomi Meisler, and actually put together that statement and what it says in terms of impact on leadership. And it said, "My passion is helping people in any way I am capable of helping. To me, every life is worth living, and because I value life, I believe I should do all I can to help people in need to improve their lives."
I like that a lot.
Yeah, that kind of typifies what you're saying.
And, you know, one of the things that we try to do and help to do is that there's a dynamic, as I said before, about the tyranny of the urgent that affects the business owner in a detrimental way, and that is usually he or she comes into the business doing something really well. Matter of fact, that's what the business probably is based on to a great extent for a long time.
Right.
But because of the normal operational mire that, you know, that builds up over time with employees and everything else, the entrepreneur often gets sunk into those operations and is not able to do that thing that they do well. And so what we try to do is to be able to figure out what needs to be in place so that that business owner can do that thing more often and more of their schedule to be taken up doing that.
I also took a look at one of your videos online, and I encourage everybody to do that. And at 4M, and one of the videos had to do with the entrepreneur going out and actually sensing that a new promise had to be made to a customer.
Right.
Something they hadn't done before. But the issue is, oh, yeah, we can do that.
Right.
No problem. We can get that done.
Sure.
Then the image is going back to the organization and saying, how are we ever going to get this done?
That's right.
That happens every day, doesn't it?
It does. We say, you know, why is it that all innovation has to happen on a cliff's edge, right? But that's true. I mean, it's that actually, and that's the way that oftentimes the value proposition is honed, because you're responding to something that the customer has asked for. Now, and we laugh about that. We say, you know, oftentimes when you say yes to that, you're probably 70% able to make that happen. So you've got to go back and make the adjustments. But oftentimes that's where the right formula for the value proposition occurs is making those changes and responding to the customers.
Sometimes it can be detrimental for a leader or an owner of a small company to have his identity in that company.
Yes.
And you often face that. How do you deal with that? What's your evaluation? As people are listening to this, they're saying, well, that is my identity or it's not my identity. But if it is your identity and you overly identify with your company, what are the possible pitfalls there?
That is the brass ring question right mm-hmm. there. And I have such respect for entrepreneurs and for business owners. The difficulty is with that, you know, when a business gains momentum, when it gains size and it grows fast, there's a lot of energy that goes along with that, and it's so easy, especially for us, being entrepreneurs, is that we that this is really who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I get notoriety for this, right? I get asked to speak at meetings,
right.
And this is I'm bringing this to the community. The downside of that is that then the objectivity of being able to look at the business realistically is lessened. And that's a critical issue that can really not only affect the business itself, but also, I mean, this goes into a whole different conversation, which we won't go down this road, but there's over $600 billion of dry powder in private equity out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a better time to be able to sell a business. As a matter of fact, the floor on deals that are happening in private equity has gone from $10 million EBITDA down to about $1.5 million to $2 million because there's just not deals out there. And it's very difficult. We're finding that, that entrepreneurs are able to look at the business objectively and to be able to say, I need to get this, even if I don't want to sell it, even if I don't want to let it go, I need to get it ready to be sold.
Right.
And so the downside of it is that the business actually becomes, a person in itself,
and this is
from a business owner standpoint. This is what I identify with.
A person and a good friend.
Exactly.
you don't want to change the good friend, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay, we end every podcast. I have many more questions I'd love to ask you, but we're at the point where we need to end the podcast. And And it ends with a pearl of wisdom, something that you would like to impart that people right now could hear and will stay with them, and they can take it forward in their lives, their business lives.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that, and this actually, we have a workshop we put on called the Growth Challenge Workshop, which gives them an opportunity to interact with their peers and use, you know, go and look at a real case study.
Mm-hmm.
But we asked the business owner, Bert Prater, who's a doctor who had the business, to come in and actually film, looking into the camera. And it was kind of a cliffhanger kind of situation where he had to decide, you know, what kind of funding he was going to take.
Okay.
And so he looks into the camera and tells them what he did and why. And one of the things he said was, you know, bring in people that are smarter than you to be able to help you to help you to get through these issues. And it's kind of like there's a term that for ultramarathoners that they use called pacer. It's that individual that comes in that last 25 miles and runs alongside,
mm-hmm.
and basically you know helps to keep him hydrated and keep him going. And that's I think that the main thing is to look deep and to be able to willing to be objective.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Unfortunately, Brent, time is up. Thank you so much for being here today. Listeners can find Brent at, let me give you this email address, brent@incnav.com. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. I'll see you next Wednesday. In the meantime, it's the same old piece of advice. Keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.